Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Revelation chapter 13, the Apostle John sees in his vision the arising of two beasts. The first beast comes up out of the sea. The second beast he saw rises up out of the earth. Now, God made man to dwell on the earth, on land. So the sea is naturally foreign territory to mankind. Hence, still, its intrigues and its mysteries throughout the centuries. Still, much of the oceans, its depths, remains unknown to man. And we ride on the surface of the deep, but barely understand what lies beneath. So with these basic principles in mind, one should then interpret the origins of those two beasts from John's vision. The first beast comes up out of the sea, which is foreign to man. And so the first beast lays siege upon God's people, is doing so from outside of his people. That is, from outside the church. This can be seen early on in the life of the early church, as much of its persecutions and torture were imposed on it by the secular authorities in the world, attacks from without. The second beast comes forth from the earth itself, man's own dwelling place, from within then the church of Christ. This represents the attacks of Satan on Christ's people from within the church. It's a dual-pronged attack that has been the tool of the devil for a very long time. It is this second attack that our Lord Jesus warns against in today's gospel reading. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. It's a frightening image that our Lord creates for us. Yet it is entirely necessary for us. Jesus speaks these words at the end of his great Sermon on the Mount. We remember that he began that sermon with the Beatitudes, words of gospel, to bring people into his midst by his grace. He then goes on to catechize those gathered near to him, his disciples, and others in the crowd in the ways of true discipleship, expounding on the law and the instruction of the Old Testament. But woe be to the follower of Christ who thinks that he will get through this life scot-free. The Lord Jesus wants his followers, desires for each and every one of you to be aware what is to come your way as his disciple. You will recognize them, he says, by their fruits. Now, quite normally in the scriptures, we think of the fruits mentioned as the deeds, the actions of the people. But since Jesus is talking about false prophets, a different class or category of people, you should think more of what is coming out of their mouths than what is being done in their actions. For this, again, is the work of the second beast. He has the two horns on his head, John sees, like a lamb, to lull you into thinking he is harmless. Many preachers, many Christians can certainly look and act the part of the Christian. They can be moral, they can be ethical, and they can encourage others to be and to do the same. All the while, what they are saying about the Lord Jesus Christ himself is askew, is false. Such a person with the two horns of the Lamb truly speaks like a dragon, John says. Many Christians fall for this attack, trusting that the speaker is true and good based on their deeds, their external appearance. And so they feel inadequate, unprepared, or even judgmental to question the true beliefs of the doer himself, the speaker of those words. Can you think of anyone who fits into such a category. Someone who does great things in the eyes of the world, but does not speak the truth about Jesus. Someone else who likes what is being done, but would never dare to challenge the beliefs of another. Unfortunately, this today is all too common. It's precisely the attack of the devil from within the comfortable confines of the church herself. So dangerous and so deadly is this attack that the Lord Jesus warns his disciples, his followers, beloved as they are, at the very end of his Sermon on the Mount. Later on, he will continue to warn them about these dangers, caution his disciples against the leaven of the Pharisees, how their false teaching can work its way into their midst little by little. The Apostle Paul gives warning to the pastors of the churches in Ephesus about the very same danger from our epistle reading from Acts 20. To them he says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." This attack from within the followers of God occurred even before Jesus made his presence known in this world. The very same attack the prophet Jeremiah was dealing with in his day. As our Old Testament reading gives us God's word from the prophet saying, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." Jeremiah, the true prophet of God, was rejected because he spoke words that were true. But in the eyes and the ears of the people, that truth was gloomy. It was dark, depressing, prophesying doom for God's unrepentant people. They did not care one lick about the truth of his words. They only were concerned with how those words made them feel. How does this happen today? How can you spot the false prophet in your midst? Are they even really there? You best believe it. These people love to tell you that everything is going to be just fine, and they have no idea if that is true or not. St. Paul cautions the young pastor in 2 Timothy 4, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Key point here, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Quite the prophet was the Apostle Paul. This was the case with all those false prophets from Jeremiah, from his day when he dealt with them. They said exactly what the people wanted to hear in their own sinful minds. Those false prophets never gave the people the truth they needed, the revelation of their condition before God, their need for the Savior. Such is the fine trade of the false prophet. It manifests itself in various ways, but at the core of its teaching, you can notice, is the teaching of man, not the teaching of Christ and Him crucified. A fallen humanity, the world around us, loves the humanized Christ, the God whom you can saddle up to and have a good chat with. Modern American ideals, along with those found all throughout the world, have made God a docile being, one easily approached and easy and a joy to love. Does not sound much like a wolf in sheep's clothing. That is precisely the point. you get lulled into thinking that there is nothing wrong with such a gentle view of Jesus. Worse than, you feel guilty for insisting that Jesus be more for you than what your sinful nature truly wishes he would be. Regardless, Jesus is Jesus. We need to keep him that way. No, we cannot really change Jesus, don't misunderstand, but we can impact what others and even ourselves think about Jesus. That thinking, which does then lead away from the truth as the one and only Savior from sin, that teaching is the wolf in sheep's clothing. It sneaks in into your midst, and before you know it, the false teaching about Christ himself has already won the sheep. No matter your reaction to Jesus, no matter your handling of his name and his word, there is forgiveness for you. The Lord Jesus himself has died for you, for your sin, for all of it. He has paid the full price for your life, your living, your being, giving up his own for you. That is the true message of eternal life, and for salvation itself, the very gospel, the good news itself. That is the message that was hidden from the people of God's church for centuries before the Reformation. That is the gospel story alone that shall be preached by the church, all else being anathema, cursed, condemned. Person, the work of Jesus Christ and him crucified is the touchstone, the litmus test for all claims made by Christians and made by others in Christ's name. Is their teaching centered in Jesus Christ and him crucified? Does it leave the hearer looking to Jesus alone for salvation, for life? If so, then it is pure and true, the very means of joy and salvation itself. If not, flee from it and give no ear to it whatever. Beware of false prophets, our Lord says. It is fair warning from our good and gracious God, has been needed ever since the fall into sin. It is needed now. You too can be deceived. I too can fall away from Christ. But to prevent those tragedies, our Lord has given us his word, his sacraments. Wherever his word of gospel is rightly proclaimed and his sacraments rightly given out to his people, there is your false prophet prevention. Word and sacrament are your defenses against the false prophets near and far. Beware the false prophets. And also then pay heed to the true prophet, the voice of the shepherd you know so well, the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified for you. For he alone, the good shepherd, the true shepherd, is the way, the truth, the resurrection, and the life. He alone is your salvation, your forgiveness. Jesus alone is your King, your Lord, your Savior. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.